new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome to a new edition of the Cards Cast, a special Cards Cast. It is excited about this guest. We're going to be bringing up in a moment. Everybody's going to know who this is. A big moment this weekend at the KFC Yum Center. His number is going to get retired. We're going to talk about it here, and we're going to talk to him. I'm Cardinal Authority Senior Writer Michael McCammon, joined by publisher Jody Demlin, and we're speaking about Russ Smith, Jody. You know, and
it's a Russ-diculous edition. Hey, of the Cardinal Insider. That's what it is.
You should have told me that before we started.
You know what it could be?
What could it be?
We could just talk about bourbon for a while.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at that. You know, I mean, it's really cool label with the use of his face on the label. It's really cool.
But I don't want to. I want to talk basketball. I'm going to talk bourbon. But I do talk bourbon with Russ is going to talk some bourbon with us. I told him, I'm like, when we were talking about the podcast, I was like, we got to talk bourbon. And he said, okay, I'll talk a little bourbon with you. So,
which is always welcome talk here in Kentucky and Louisville.
I mean, we're all good. I could talk to Russ for hours. He's one of those guys that even when he was younger and was on the bench and wasn't playing a ton, he was always talking. He was always, you know, saying hi and kind of talking to people and always, he was just always that guy, I thought. He's so awesome as a person. He was so unbelievable as a player. And, you know, I think this is very fitting for him. And let's just say, they've got everything planned for Saturday. All the plans are laid out, okay? But this is Russ, and this is Russ-diculous. So you know, has Russ ever followed a play? I would think Coach Pitino would say no.
So yeah, he got pulled from the game a couple times for not doing stuff.
Something's going to go off script here on Saturday, and it's going to be fun. But what a time for him and. Like I said, it's just going to be fun for the guys to be able to see him. You know, I kind of forgot that, like, even as good as those teams were, I mean, he was the second lead. He ended up being the second leading scorer on that 2011-2012 team. He ended up being – Kyle Couric was 12.6. He ended up being 11.5. Like you do forget, and I've had people – tell me, why is his number getting retired? And I'm like, just look at the stats. I mean, he not only the honors, but the stats. He deserves this. This is definitely deserved.
Yeah, and you bring up stats, and you had mentioned just a moment ago how, you know, when he's younger and he wasn't playing all that much, and obviously as a freshman, you know, had dealt with some injuries and stuff, even got, you know, a little discouraged, thought about going home. You know, and so, you know, thinking back on that first year that he had, you know, when everybody was still trying to figure out, okay, who is Russ Smith? What can Rick Pitino do with Russ Smith? I mean, this guy's kind of crazy out on the floor. You know, you think about that first year, and then you look at those stats that you're mentioning, and it's just like, wow. I mean, only player in U of L history with over 1,800 points, 350 assists, 250 steals, school's all-time leader in steals, scored over 600 points in back-to-back seasons. One of two players at U of L to ever do that, joining DeJuan Wheat. So, I call him a kid. He's not a kid. You know, it has me flashing back to those years when he was a kid. You know, I mean, very deserving of this. And, you know, and obviously a huge fan favorite, really became, you know, so much fun to watch. I mean, you can't help but think about the moment Rick Pitino's being interviewed on TV and Russ Smith's going, you know, messing up his hair and things like that. I mean, just awesome dude on the court and equally awesome off the court.
I had a hard time thinking back to all the great memories and all the great moments.
Yeah.
The Kentucky dunk might be my favorite.
Yeah.
And not just because mainly because it's Kentucky. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was such power.
Yeah. It was just one of those, like, dude, what was that? You know? And so, yeah, That might end up being one of my, that might be one of my favorites.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's gotta be one
or
of
my, it might be my very best favorite. I should say.
I think it's certainly one of his premier highlights. That's for sure. I mean, he's got plenty. I mean, obviously helped Louisville win a national championship and go to a couple Final Fours and win multiple conference championships. I mean, you know, so when you look, once that number two is unveiled tomorrow up in the rafters, you know, next to, you know, the other UofL greats, I mean, he's right there with them. When you talk about his accomplishments and not just individually, as I just went over, but also, you know, how he helped the team and, you know, helped bring a championship back to Louisville for the first time since 1986. And made Louisville really an annual, you know, championship threat during his tenure here. And you know, you really got to tip your hat to what he accomplished, especially when you think back to what he was like and what people thought of him as far as coaches, recruiting services and stuff. When he was coming out of high school, you know, there wasn't much thought of him, you know, and he comes to Louisville and Rick Pitino and Russ Smith, you know, become a wonderful tandem.
Yeah, it was, I'll never forget. That was the time right before, like in 2012 is when I, you know, kind of left the newspaper and kind of came over here and joined the real world with you. And Michael, before that, though, you know, I mean, I covered recruiting. So I was out there the whole time. And like, I'll never forget watching him, like when he was younger and thinking, man, this guy makes a lot of plays, but man, this guy makes a lot of bad plays. And thinking to myself, like, Rick Pitino's really going to take this guy? Because, he, you know, I just, you knew what Rick Pitino, you know, you knew what he would do, like how the guys like that would just drive him crazy all the time. And little did we know that that day against West Virginia, when Russ was going to transfer, Russ was going to be, you know, he'd already made up his mind pretty much he was going to go home. Little did we know that that was going to be the start of what I've always said is the Russ-Diculous magic. And it was so much fun to cover, so much fun to be around. And you always had to be on your toes with Russ because, you know, if you were walking back in the locker room or back then we could go in the locker room every game. If you're walking back in the locker room, if you're doing something, you know, whatever, if you're standing in his way, he'd come behind you and either like, you know, pinch you on the neck or just kind of push you aside. I mean, and it was all playful. It was all fun. He was just a big kid who just happened to be really good at basketball. I wish him the best moving forward because he's gotten a tough time and with some injuries and different things in his pro career. He's a dude that no matter where he gets a chance, when he gets a chance, I think he always lives up to that. And hopefully he'll be able to do that. Plus he's got the bourbon now. He's got some other things going on in his life. I think he'll end up getting into doing some media stuff at some point. And I think it would be awesome for him, you know, to be able to do some things. And you imagine the Russ, like, you know, on one of these networks and doing games and calling games. And like I said, he's never followed a script. Why would he do it? why would he do it then?
That could be must listen TV, you know, if he's calling a game, that's for sure. You know, and Jody, you know, I think back, you know, last summer when you and I are going out and we're checking out Caleb Glenn from Mail. They're in a summer high school tournament and we get over, it's across the river in Indiana and you know, we're waiting for Mail to take the floor and begin their game. And there's this dude out there in a ball cap with the big curled brim, jeans on, t-shirt, just a nondescript dude out there.
Pink tennis shoes.
Shots from deep. And I look over and you're like, that's Russ Smith. I look over. Holy crap, it's Russ Smith.
Pink tennis shoes, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So just a great dude. And obviously we want to get to the interview, but if it should be obviously an exciting, you know, I think atmosphere, hopefully for the whole thing on Saturday when the Cardinals play Notre Dame, when obviously the ceremony at halftime, but they're going to do things regarding this throughout the game, you know, so it's one of those, make sure you get there early, stay to the end because yes, the ceremony is at halftime, but there's going to be elements of this, you know, that's going to be happening throughout the game to really celebrate the moment for Russ. If you get there early enough, the first 8,500 fans through the doors will get a commemorative Russ Smith poster. So you want to check that out as well. And there's stuff there for, you know, there's little things that the students will get in their student section and stuff like that as well. So this is, if you haven't been to a game and you're planning on going to this one, it's one of those, get there early and plan on staying late, being loud, cheering, and hopefully have a great moment and hopefully lead the, help the Cardinals onto a victory over Notre Dame. So big moment on Saturday.
Yeah, no question about it. It's been fun to talk about him, and it's going to be fun to chat.
Welcome to the Cards Cast here, as I'm joined by, well, it's an honor. Russ Smith joins me, and Russ, this is a big weekend, and I know you've known about this for a while, but as you get closer to Saturday, is it kind of hit you that, wow, your number's going to be up there in the rafters?
Yeah, it's now all starting to hit me, man, and thank you for having me again. But it's all just starting to pile on. Everybody's been so supportive, and it's just been a blessing, the whole thing, the whole thing itself. So I'm very happy, and I'm honored, and I'm humbled.
Russ, after the career you had, you had to have at some. I mean, I don't. Although I know how you are, and you don't think about yourself as much, but you had to. At some point or another, think that this day was possible, but did you ever? I mean, could you have ever really imagined that this is what was going to happen, and your name was going to be forever, or your jersey forever up there with the other greats that are there? And I know you know those, you know a lot of those guys, and you've at least met and heard a lot about those guys. It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? To think about the magnitude of what this honor is.
Man, this is huge, and this is like I've never even thought. I had no idea this day would ever come to fruition. But to have my number there forever, you know, not my number to not ever be worn again. I know that's pretty serious stuff. When I was in school. I mean, I only played maybe 2.5 years out of the 4 years. So, I just played, and I just did my best and tried to, do whatever I could to help the team win and be the best version of myself. And it just ended up turning out this way.
Speaking of just playing, and back when you were playing, Have you heard from Coach Pitino? Did he reach out to you at all about this honor? And I'm kind of curious of what he had to say to you.
Oh man, Coach is thrilled. Because he had hands on this retirement of the number. Coach P was hands on. He's hands on responsible for this. Allowing me to be great and allowing me to thrive along with my teammates. But he's just as happy as anyone. He's just as happy as my mom and dad. And he's texted me a bunch of times, and we've talked about this, and he can't believe it himself. We laugh together, but he's just as ecstatic as I am. So we're kind of the same in that regard.
Even now, years removed from back in the day when you first started and you were sitting on the bench and you were learning things and he was getting after you and all that. Do you think back? I mean, the way it worked out is almost. I know you would have wanted to play every game, but the way it worked out is almost like a storybook, wasn't it? I mean, the way your career kind of happened, it unfolded like it was like it's someday going to be a movie.
Man, it is a movie, and it should be a movie. This is so inspirational on so many levels. It's a, I mean, if this were a movie, how it goes. It goes classic, must see, thriller. Like that's exactly what it is. It's a must see. It's a classic. It's a thriller. It's inspirational. It's all of the good adjectives to that describes overcoming obstacles and barriers. And I'm very happy.
You would obviously have to play yourself in that movie. You wouldn't let anybody else play Russ, right? maybe Big Russ could play Russ.
it all depends on who we got. If we got Idris Elba or Denzel, and we can somehow put them in a time machine and you know, that's a good start.
Yeah. Russ, when you think back to your career, there are so many memories, so many big games, so many shots and that kind of thing. Do you, first of all, is there something off the floor, non-basketball, that you'll always remember about your time at Louisville?
Off the floor, non-basketball, wow. So many memories. Because like I've shared with a few others, I was rare in that regard to have, you know, a bunch of amazing relationships with, like, the students, some fans and supporters. So I would just say, you know, just preparing to be a student after practice, you know, maybe going to the SAC because I wasn't playing, and, you know, playing with the students or meeting people in the student rec and,
right,
you know, ping pong, like just things like that. Just the simple stuff. I think I'll never forget, or meeting up with some of my TEAC friends and, you know, just hanging out, seeing slime, you know, like it's just,
yep.
I had so much fun just being a student that, you know, basketball and, being on campus, being a student was almost equal in that regard.
That one and again, non-win. I mean, obviously wins are great and all that kind of stuff. But as far as, do you have a play or a moment that is more stands out more than any other? Maybe that wasn't in the national champion, you know, like wasn't in the final game or in the final four. Is there another is there a memory that you will forever have ingrained in your mind?
Wow. I would always say it was the day that, you know, I was through with the university and through with the team, and I wanted to transfer, and coach ended up subbing me in versus West Virginia and told me, you know, I can do whatever I want out there. The team just needs energy. It looks like we're going to lose anyway, but we just really need energy and a spark, and go out there and just do whatever you want. I get free reign. And I was like, wow, all right, cool. Like, you know, I'm just get in there and do it. I was so tired when I got in there. I played like the hardest six, 5 minutes that I could. And when I got subbed out of the game against West Virginia, I mean, the gym was so loud. The arena was so loud. And it was, I've never heard anything like it. And everybody was chanting for me. And it was like a tie game. And we had a chance to win. And, you know, I played a hand in that. And then as I sat on the bench, I'm like, I kind of want to make this thing work. I don't want to leave just yet. And that right there as a freshman was probably a game changer for me, because I was able to feel, you know, the 22,000 people and the love and, you know, just the sense of accomplishment.
And the last, I mean, that was the start. That was the start of the rest of the story, really. I mean, that day was so cool to think back to it. And like you said, and at the time, nobody knowing what's going on in your mind, but it's just so cool to think back now that we know the story that was kind of the start of, that was the start of Rusticulous, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. For sure was, because that was that day was the day where I was going to make probably an irrational decision, and I just ended up coming to the game because, you know, guess that's the right thing to do, and you know, you can't just not show up to the game. So I'm glad I did everything properly.
I got to ask you real quick before, I know you've got a ton of things to do, but I do have to ask you real quick, since your career at Louisville, you know, I know you had the shoulder injury, you've had some other things, but man, I mean, right now, I mean, every opportunity you get, you always make the most of it. How are things going right now? And I know you got off to a big start. How are things going for you at the moment this season?
Well, things are going great. You know, I had a good start, but, I mean, you know, everywhere I go, it's always going to be something. And I've the last couple games, you know, I haven't been playing much, and it's kind of been you know, a little frustrating, but, you know, I always still keep the faith. But every opportunity that I get, I just try to make the most out of it. Be when I play and when things are fair, I'm really able to handle business and do some work. So I just hope that, you know, I'm able to contribute, you know, get the minutes I deserve and, you know, and not get and just get an opportunity I deserve. But right. I'm just very happy to be playing.
And the last thing, I know you can't talk a whole lot in detail about the bourbon, but man, how cool is it to have your own bourbon? It's the coolest thing that anybody could ever have is to have their own bourbon, right?
Yeah, I think so. I like popping open my bottle to make me a nice drink or to watch a game or two, and it's really good stuff, man. My partners and I, we did a really good job, and just hitting all the notes. I mean, the guys who make my bourbon, their hands are super experienced, and to come out with the product we did, and for me to stand by it for, you know, four or five years and watch this whole thing. But I had to source out the 12-year, but the blue, the green, the red labels are just a great job. And I can't wait to give you guys, you know, some more juice. This is not the end, and I plan on doing this for a long time. And I'm very excited on adding on new possible labels and taking on new opportunities. I think this is only the beginning.
Did it just, I mean, is it something you always wanted to do? Or I mean, you don't just come up with it. I mean, is that something you've always really wanted to do?
Yeah, I've always wanted to have, you know, my own liquor. Like, you know, some of my role models or guys that I look up to, you know, 50 Cent, Jay-Z, and, you know, Diddy, those are all New York guys. And I thought, man, they're doing really cool stuff. And as black men, too, like, I think that's really important to have, you know, just those kinds of ambitions. And then being in the state of Kentucky, I got introduced to a whole new world. And the bourbon whiskey industry is so nice. And the flavor palette of everything and the different kinds of bourbons, different kinds of whiskey, that really drew an interest to me. And none of my role models, I guess, or the people I look up to are doing it. So I thought I can just make a lane for myself. Even guys in basketball, like a lot of those guys aren't doing anything that I'm doing. And I just thought, you know, why not try that and see what comes out of it. I've always wanted to do a liquor, and I enjoy bourbon, and now I'm just like, all right, I have the tools to do it, the contacts. Let's show people that I can work hard, even off court, to make something happen.
All right. Well, buddy, we appreciate your time. You're the toast of the town always when you're around, and definitely this weekend is that they're going to raise that jersey up. And I know Saturdays will be I know how you are. It'll be emotional, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So enjoy it. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Joey.
Thanks to Russ Smith for joining us on this week's edition of the Cards Cast. It'll be his jersey in the rafters, the ceremony at halftime on Saturday, as Louisville takes on Notre Dame, tip time scheduled for 4 o'clock. I'm Jody Demling, Michael McCammon. We appreciate you listening to this week's Cards Cast. We got all kinds of good things going on. Check back at some point throughout the day today for a list of visitors that will be visiting this weekend. And plus, we'll have interviews from the Chris Mack press conference. Also, expected to talk to new offensive coordinator Lance Taylor this afternoon as well. So a lot of things going on here, and we've got you covered at CardinalAuthority.com. This has been a very fun, Rustdiculous edition of the Cards Cast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.